You are listening to ACPN.
Can I just read this real quick? On July 13th, 2012, Duncan was taken to Cedars-Sinai Medical Center after suffering a heart attack. Media reports suggested that his girlfriend, Omarosa, had tried... I can't say her last name.
Manigault Newman.
Had tried to save his life by performing CPR. Duncan's publicist, John Fay, issued a statement on August 6th. He was moved in intensive care and remained hospitalized following his heart attack. Wow. Dude. She gave him CPR, so she had a chance to save him. Almost. That sucks.
I feel like he would be a very hard man to give CPR to. The chest compressions and stuff. The dude weighed like 350 pounds.
What's his name? Ving Rhames or whatever? Like the other big fat black dude. He's did you see isn't he the one that's in
Mission Impossible.
Did you see Mission Impossible yet?
I did.
I heard it
did
was
you
good.
See how, did you see how fat he gets fatter in the movie? I think
he's a little bit big now.
He gets fatter in the movie, and by the way, he's so fat that he causes he causes himself to get involved in the mission twice. We're like, I'm like, how many times are you going to get captured in this?
did anyone see Henry Cavill's magic beard? And shirt pocket.
Oh yes, yeah, I saw that clip where he grew his beard.
Yeah, he's like getting ready to fight Tom Cruise, and he grows a beard magically.
I will be honest though. I mean, like, I was not a fan, but I'd be honest. That bathroom fight scene is one of the best fight scenes I've ever seen.
That was an amazing fight. Choreography, everything about that was awesome.
So good.
At the stunt training I do, they basically put together a fight. They had one of the guys who worked on that film, stunt coordinator, came in and showed us, you know, some of the stuff they were doing. So it was kind of cool to get to at least act out a little bit of that scene. But, I mean, Cavill just came off as a beast in that. It was awesome.
I loved him in that movie. People, you know, I guess that they had to leave him with that mustache or whatever because he... to make him seem more villainous. I guess that's why they left him with the mustache. Is that what you think? Because like they wouldn't let him shave it for Superman.
Yeah, that's why they CGI'd it in Superman, and then they CGI'd his beard.
Yeah, I think they were just being dicks to Justice League people.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, you want to start this sucker or what?
I guess we technically did start. Good evening, America. Welcome to a literally blockbuster edition of Adventure Club Podcast. See what I did there, guys?
I see what you did there, John.
So smart.
I approve.
I am John Galbo.
I am Matt Nislanik.
And with us once again, since Jason is still on assignment, Jim DeSantis, everybody.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Welcome back, Jim.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Right. You're a good Jason analog.
Yeah, I told Jason this week, I said to him, I said, listen, Jason, come on, man. You got to come back. I'm not good enough.
Snoopy, come home.
He's on some covert government op outside the country, I think.
Black Ops 4 with the four lines instead of the actual Roman numeral. Like
it's just ops now. They don't like being called Black Ops.
That's true. That's true. We don't need to put a color on that.
they're transparent ops.
Yeah.
It's just ops, everybody.
Can we go with camouflage?
Opaque,
can we just do that?
Opaque ops.
But yeah, that's where he is. I think probably assassinating someone or something, you know.
Thank God.
Yeah. You know, we have him on our side, so I feel safe.
Yes. What are we drinking tonight, guys?
Oh, I am drinking some Joseph Magnus bourbon, DC's own.
Oh, hey. Sounds fancy.
I got my sister that works for Walter.
I thought you were going to say, I got a rock.
I got a rock.
No, I got wild. I'm drinking a little Wild Turkey because he said he was drinking some bourbon. So I was like, I'm gonna pull something out. And my sister works for Wild Turkey. So.
Oh, that's awesome!
Really? Mm-hmm. Would they like to sponsor a podcast?
Yeah. Listen, Russell's Reserve is really good, by the way.
I know
it's the high end
Wild Turkey.
I met him too. I met the guy.
I thought you were gonna say you met Wild Turkey.
I thought you wait, Russell's Reserve. So you met Mr. Russell?
That's true. Yeah. He came to town. My sister had to show him around. Very old, but very agile.
That's cool.
Went from a lot of bars.
Bourbon keeps you young.
Always.
I met Mr. Wild Turkey.
Was it like Mr. Turkey? First name
Mr. Yeah. Turkey.
There are a lot of wild turkeys here on the Isle of Statens.
Are there really?
Yeah.
What are you drinking, John?
I'm the teetotaler of this week. We stopped for, well, long story, but we stopped for Dunkin' Iced Coffee on the way home because I'm blind from...
That's right. You can't see anything today, can you?
I'm reverse John Cena. I can't see, and everything's a blur to me because I had my eyes dilated.
Ah.
You know, one of those fun things, if you remember them from childhood.
Are you sure you're actually recording?
I don't know. I could be hearing voices, too.
Did you ever see that movie? It's a really weird movie. Okay, it's called Blindness. Anybody ever seen that? I think it's called Blindness.
That sounds scary.
The whole world goes blind, but one person.
That sounds like the Day of the Triffids.
Yeah, it's very similar. All these movies are similar, right? They all I'm going to try to... It was pretty famous. There's a lot of famous people in it.
Oh, 2008. A city is ravaged by an epidemic of instant white blindness.
Huh.
And we got color in it. Come on. It's blindness, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
No, I've never heard of this one.
Is it Kate Blanchett? Is that who's in it? I can't remember. Julianne Moore,
Mark Ruffalo.
Ruffalo the Buffalo.
Decent cast.
Okay. So tell us about the movie, Jim.
I can if you want. I guess we could. It's from 2008, so I hope it's not too out of date. We're recording this podcast in 2008, so this is going to work out real well.
In the future.
It's you know, it starts off where certain people start going blind, like in its slow progression. And then Julianne Moore, she's the only one that can see, so she actually fakes her blindness a little bit so she could be with her husband because they thought it was contagious.
I do remember hearing about this movie.
It's kind of interesting, but it's really weird and super. It has like a The Road kind of a feel to it. Remember that movie, The Road?
So it's not a happy movie.
No, it's not. It's not a happy movie, but it's definitely interesting and worth. If you like that post-apocalyptical, you know, like on the machines.
Yeah.
If you like that,
apocalyptical.
Good cardio.
Yeah. Workout. If you like that, it's a good workout.
That should be a movie.
You know, my wife had the best tag for a movie. We saw. Did you see Mad Max Fury Road?
Oh my God! Yes.
See, when we left that movie, you know how you have to give those little, like sometimes there's people out in the front and they give you like a little thing and they talk. We were there opening nights. There was a person there from what's your thoughts on the movie? And my wife literally said, she's like, I don't understand. She goes, they went all the way one direction in the movie, and then they came all the way back, and it was like, oh. That was her whole like synopsis of the movie, and I was like, you know what, you nailed it though.
They probably looked at her and said, well, she was in our demographic clearly.
Yeah. And she was not wrong.
No, it's literally what they do. They literally go like 1,000 miles one direction and then 1,000 miles back. That's the whole movie. It's really funny, but that is true.
The takeaway from
the original Mad Max movies, everyone loved, you know, always the chase scene at the end that they were talking about, right?
Right.
So we'll just make the whole movie that.
That should be the
one sentence plot. They went all the way one way and then they came back the other way.
That's it. That's the entire. Anyways, that's my.
Or they could call it There and Back Again. See what I did there?
Yes, I did.
I see what you did. That's a good one.
By the way, speaking of movies, we have an awesome guest tonight. Taylor Morden, he's doing a documentary on The Last Blockbuster, and that really sounds awesome.
And so, yes, there really is just one Blockbuster video store left.
And it's in Oregon, so maybe that's what Jason's up to.
Oh, hey, you know, I was thinking Jason's from Oregon. That's in Oregon. He could stop by there for us.
Well, he would have to go op to try to find that.
Mm.
Well, I think they told us the location.
Oh, no. His cover is blown.
No, pull him out. Pull him out. Abort. Abort.
Someone recorded someone saying the location address.
No, and the message didn't self-destruct. Speaking of, I believe Jim mentioned this earlier. You guys, you saw Mission Impossible, right?
I did.
Yes, John, you did not?
I did not.
I'm not going to spoil it, but Ethan Hunt wins in the end.
Oh, I'm sure he does. Because they got to make like 20 more of those, like right in between his next Jack Reacher movie.
And his next three sci-fi movies.
And apparently Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Shortest lantern of all.
Which I'm like, if they're planning to put him in as Green Lantern, it's like, do they want the DC universe? Excuse me, the worlds of DC to perish? Like the Dark Universe?
You know, I will say, I love watching Tom Cruise movies. Cause he is completely into every role, and he gives it like 100% every single time. He might be batshit crazy on the outside, but I like watching his movies.
I heard The Mummy was awful, though.
Yeah, well, I didn't
see
that.
The Mummy is bad. Mummy is bad. I saw it on a train, on a plane.
They said supposedly...
Jen watched it on a plane and turned it off halfway through.
Supposedly, he took like total creative control over the movie, and that's why it bombed, and that's why... They're probably not going to do the Dark Universe at this point.
Well, no, they killed that off completely, I think.
Yeah, well, that's sad because I was really hoping for the rest of it. I mean, you know, Javier Bardem and then who else?
There were a bunch attached to the movies.
But the thing is that, like, they find, you know, Universal has these I mean, because I'm a big Universal monster freak.
Sure.
Right.
And do you guys know Mike Aiello is? He works at Universal Studios. He does all the stuff for Halloween Horror Nights. He's kind of famous, I guess, in a way, right? He's a local Orlando guy, Mike Aiello.
I don't think so.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, he's a real interesting guy, but he's like, you know, he's always about them booting up the universe. And obviously he can't say anything negative about Universal. He works there.
Right.
But every time I hear about it, I just want to shake him and be like, you guys have the coolest stuff. Like, there's so much array of, like, old Universal monster movies that they could be doing. Cool. I mean, they're already written. They just need better dialogue. Like, you don't have to change them around. Unless you do, like, what Brendan Fraser did for The Mummy, right? Where he made it basically, you think you're seeing The Mummy, but you're really seeing Raiders of the Lost Ark. Yeah,
I mean,
it's a ripoff.
Yeah. That was the original Mummy, the one with Brendan Fraser. That was a fun one.
I love that movie.
The second one was okay, and I never saw the third. Who was
the second and third one was not great, but the first one was Raiders of the Lost Ark. That's what it was, right?
Yeah,
it was a ripoff, like Killing Solomon's Mines, or
with more guns.
With more guns, and that was fun, and I agree. Mm-hmm. And
Rachel Weisz.
So if you're gonna make a movie like that, that's fine. But if you're gonna reboot the universe, just shoot it. The way, I mean, people love, you know, historical pieces. Just shoot it the way you're supposed to shoot it. Make a decent movie. I mean, that's all. Or make just complete garbage, like, you know, Creatures from Black Lagoon, and just have people laugh at it and have fun with it. You know what I mean? We'd get a rubber monster and throw him out there.
Yeah.
You know? Well, John Landis wanted to direct that a long time ago, actually.
I mean, they didn't even have a Brendan Fraser cameo in that, did they? The new one?
No.
So no, why would they?
Because he was that franchise. I don't know. Yeah, I think it would have been cool.
It would have been, but, you know, I don't know.
They do, but they own such cool properties, right? Mm. I mean, like, that's a cool property. They should do something with it. I mean, they don't have to... You know, and that's the other thing, too, about these big-budget movies. You don't have to spend... I don't understand why every movie has to be $300 million. I mean, you can make a horror film for, you know, 20, 30 mil. You don't have to, like, you know, crush the bank books on these horror films.
Blair Asylum. Witch.
Right.
Oh, I was going to say Asylum.
No. No. Transformers.
Hey, Sharknado.
Sharktopus versus Mega I don't remember.
I saw Meg.
Did you?
It's basically an Asylum film. I mean, it's really bad. I mean, the dialogue is so terrible. I know it's based on a book, right? It's based on a book.
I have no
idea.
Like
a famous book.
I think so.
I heard that Jason Statham had some one-liners, and a lot of Chinese people got eaten by a shark.
By shark.
Okay.
Yes.
Considering I'm probably, there's a slim to none chance I'm going to see it. Did Rainn Wilson get eaten?
I'm not going to tell you who gets eaten and doesn't get eaten, because I think that's really wrong.
Does Jason Statham jump kick the shark, spin kick the shark, punch the shark?
I just want to say that for a movie that has a gigantic shark in it, it's not as fun as it could have been. You know, I mean, I feel like Asylum, Asylum's like, all right, let's get the beginning part out of the way about the shark, and then let's have it eat people. There was a lot of beginning parts, you know, that they were... And their dialogue was really clunky. It wasn't great. And this comes from a book. It was definitely made for Chinese audiences. It was funded, I think, 50-50 or...
It was more
percentage.
Than that, I believe.
Oh, what was it? Alibaba?
Yeah.
Something, but it was... Wanda? I can't remember, but it already made like $100 million in the first week worldwide. Ooh. So it's going to... I mean, it'll make its money back.
Deuced the Meg.
Now, from what I heard about this movie, it's like it should have been a dumb, fun action movie, but it Correct. Took itself too seriously. Like, it actually tried to be a serious movie at some points.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and in other points, they throw it out of the water. Like, it's just no pun. I don't know. It missed the boat. I was really hammered, though, so it was my birthday movie.
So that might be the good way to see it? Hammered?
It's always a good way to see a movie like that. Like Snakes on a Plane, you have to see that movie right when it comes out, you know.
Oh,
that movie does not hold up. You know,
my buddy and I saw that one in the theater the first weekend.
Exactly.
And we stopped at the Fridays in the theater and we each did 3 double shots of tequila.
Perfect.
And then
we
walked in and saw Snakes on a Plane.
Best way to see that movie.
Oh,
it was great, though, right? That experience.
A friend of mine came in from Nevada and was like, "Okay, John, we have to go see this movie." I'm like, "Okay." Thankfully, it was matinee, I believe, but we still saw it.
Yeah, but opening night, like that weekend, like people were all revved up. They're revved up. People were throwing fake snakes in the theater. It was ridiculous.
That's funny. I'm reading about the Meg on Wikipedia. Disney originally purchased the film rights to the book in the 1990s, but after several years in development hell, the rights landed at Warner Brothers.
That happens more than you think.
Yeah.
I mean, Why the Last Man, which is a great comic. You guys read that?
I love that comic. Yeah, I just finished it a little while ago, actually.
It's so irritating. Like, you know, in this era of Me Too movement, it was a shocker that this hasn't been pushed faster. But it was sitting with Brad Pitt for years. Years he had this thing. And,
really?
You know, had the rights for it. And he would not give it up. Same thing with World War Z. He had those rights forever before he made a film out of it. I'm glad it's getting a TV series, though. I heard that.
Through our friends at Punch Drunk TV, also on ACPN.
Mm-hmm.
I am really pumped for that. I hope they don't drop the ball on it. I mean, it's already written out. It's beautiful. It's got a beginning, a middle, and an end. Just shoot it the way it is, and it's going to be fantastic.
It was a hell of a good comic.
Oh, here's
it
what
really
I,
is.
Here's
one
what
of
I was
the top comics
for.
I ever read, I think. I'm not kidding.
I would put that up there. I think Saga is one of the best that I've been reading. That I still read.
That's too crazy for me. Like, I need a little bit of grounded. It's like, it's not grounded enough for me.
Really? Yeah, that is not a grounded at all, but I love it. It's just, it's the wackiness of it. It's almost like jumping halfway into a Philip K. Dick story, and you're just like, what the hell is going on?
Right.
But it's a good story. Well, once you get into it.
You're not alone on that. I mean, who does that? Is that Brian K. Vaughan? Is that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's very smart.
I got to meet him at New York Comic Con in 2011.
How was he?
He's cool. Just sat and talked for a little bit, signed a copy for me, and I hadn't read it at that point, so I didn't really know what to talk about. But he was just a cool, down-to-earth guy, and I've started really liking his work.
Yeah, I mean, he's excellent. I mean, his runs and stuff have just been... I'm a Jeff Lemire guy. I like Sweet Tooth. It's like one of my favorite comic books I've ever read.
Nice.
Another one has a beginning, middle, and end that you cannot shoot that. There's no way you could do that book because it's... The creatures in there, so it's almost like you're looking at a Dali painting or something. The way you're looking at it, there's no way they can film that. But it's
a horror comic?
It is. It's apocalyptic. You know, like on a machine.
Okay. And that's called Sweet Tooth.
Yeah, Sweet Tooth. So it looks, when you look at the cover, you think it's like a joke comic book. Like you think it's like one of those ones like Plop or something, because it looks ridiculous, and that's why I didn't pick it up for years. And then I started reading it right toward the tail end of its run.
Does that kind of have like a guy with deer antlers on the front?
Correct.
Okay. So, I found it on Comixology. I'm going to give it a chance.
Yeah. So what? I'll just give you a little quick basis of what it's about to kind of throw you in the world. It's really interesting. It's one of my favorite comic books. So what it is you know, it's people are having kids, but they're having kids, but the kids are coming out as mutants, and that's what this is all. That's what it's about. Like they're no normal kids anymore.
Oh, so it's basically Toxic Crusader, Toxic Avenger.
Sorta. I mean, like in a way. I mean, it's just really interesting. It gives you like a lot of deep background and things that are going on now, and there's a lot of similarities and stuff that's happening, and you know, it's almost like the last episode of Dinosaurs. Did you see that? I want to say Slant, maybe. Was it Slant or was it Collider? I couldn't remember. Did an article on the last episode of Dinosaurs. Did you guys read that?
I thought I heard somewhere or read somewhere about...
Because they did global warming as their last episode. Right, and that was the last episode of it. They went back into it.
Maybe it was Jack and Aaron at Punch Drunk were talking about dinosaurs. I don't remember. Someone was talking about dinosaurs and how the last episode was super dark.
All died, basically, right?
Yes, correct. Well, it's funny because I'm not name-dropping, I swear to God, but there's this guy, his name is John Kennedy, who's a puppeteer, really nice guy, he does Sesame Street and a bunch of stuff. He worked on that show, and he did the arms and the legs of the baby. Not the mama. He didn't do the voice. That was Elmo.
Kevin Clash.
A.K.A.
Splinter.
A.K.A. Good job, man. I love
him. I made a funny.
He said that was supposed to turn into a movie. This is what he told me. He said that was supposed to turn into a movie. They even shot the intros for it. It was going to be a 2-hour movie. They were just going to release it straight to video or limited release. And their punchline was "We're back," and they did all these shots where their hands are out, like "We're back." Guess what came out that same year?
Dinosaur.
That cartoon. We're back. Remember that cartoon that came out? It was like short-lived. It was a movie.
No,
the animated one with John Goodman.
Correct. Where they like come to life and they can speak. It's like "We're back." That was the name of the movie. And so.
So they scrapped it.
Well, he doesn't know exactly why, but it was just bad timing. So it had bad ratings, unfortunately. You know, all hints and stuff usually has bad ratings, which is really unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Speaking of 80s puppets that are making a comeback, Alf.
I'm really interested to see how that's going to work.
I'm really excited because when Guy was still on and we were talking about Alf and how Paul Fusco was like trying to get it off the ground ever since the TV Land show that he had.
Yeah, I mean, I think Alf is great. You know, I mean, like he's a throwback to like, what was it, Madam? And other things are like, you know, kind of like it's one creature, everything else is human. You know,
hey, Willie!
Wasn't the guy who did Alf like a horrible racist though?
I heard that.
I think he's like I forget exactly the context. I think
he was horrible to the little girl on the show or something like that.
I'm almost positive the dad came out to be a pedophile. Was he busting that?
No, I think he was busted on drugs? I think.
Oh,
I forget.
Drugs, okay.
I forget. Guy and I talked about this on an older episode. I just don't remember.
Go look it up.
On the Patreon at this point.
Is that what you're doing now, John? Are you putting old episodes on Patreon? Is that what you're doing?
I have like the first like 30 or 40 are on Patreon. I didn't put all of them because I'm not, you know, Satan. But I figured, you know, if you want to hear the classic stuff, because it does cost a lot of money to store stuff and for us to do things. So, you know, patreon.com/ACPN. And I was thinking about this yesterday when I was at my old apartment and trying to figure out what I would part with as far as shit that I have. Not just shit, but like collectibles. I have a lot of pops. And I'm thinking as a caveat to, like, the $25 tier, maybe I'll throw in, besides the Venture Brothers Blu-ray that I've been offering up for the last couple of months, maybe I'll also throw in a pop figure. A mystery pop figure.
Ooh.
But something good, something pop culture related.
pop culture pop?
A pop pop.
A pop pop.
A pop pop.
Can we just kind of cut that down and just call it a pop?
Yeah, now we're back to the original pop.
There we go.
Brought it back around.
So, John, since you've been on since the beginning, who have been? I know I was a host for a little bit, a co-host. Who's co-hosted with you? Who's been the people?
It's you. You and I started. Then Guy came and you left. You were like, okay, fine, Guy's here. Goodbye. And then Guy was.
Be nice. Let's not look like that. I was just like, you guys got me.
Jim just wasn't having Guy.
Huh? And then and then Guy was like, oh hey, I got Dana and Bart, so bye Felicia. And during that point, that's when I got Matt. And then last November, we brought Jason to the fold.
Oh, so there's only. I thought there was more co-hosts for some reason.
You might be confusing it with Swimcast or Flux.
The Swimcast was like an array. You'd have 20 people on sometimes. I'd be like, what's going on?
Yeah, that was. That's why it spawned off into this, because we weren't even talking about Adult Swim there for a while. It was just like us for 2 hours going, oh, you know, there's. Trish brought up one time there was a fight of some kind that was videotaped in like a Denny's, and it was like Halloween, so like one woman was dressed up as a ladybug and one woman was dressed up as like a pumpkin or something.
What?
And we're going for half an hour. We're talking about this fight that happened, and we're watching the video, and I'm like,
oh boy,
people are gonna listen to it. I'm like, you know what? It's Adult Swim. People will probably be stoned out of their minds listening to it.
Matt, so what, when you decide, like, did they ask you to come on, or is this something you wanted to, did you want to do podcasting? Is this something you always wanted to do?
I had basically gotten, I was on another podcast before this, and I got kicked off that.
Yeah, which really sucked, because I was enjoying listening to you on that podcast, and you were promoting
it. Yeah,
that
was kind of cool.
Then
I was
when
promoting
you,
the hell out of it. And, yeah.
When you mentioned they like booted you, I'm like, I turned to Guy. I'm like, Guy, you know, what about Matt? And we had Matt on for the, I think, like the Comic-Con live show at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, John and Guy offered, said, hey, you want to come on once or twice? And I'm like, I came on, and then John, like halfway through one episode, was like, oh, yeah, you want to be a full-time member? I'm like, oh, yes, I do.
I mean, have all the prerequisites. You're a big fan of geek stuff. You have experience with, you know, different things, voice acting, movies, Latvian women.
Yes.
I think it would be interesting if, you know, you got together and did an episode with Guy about, did you guys talk about your extra work with Guy? Because he's done a lot of extra work way back in the day.
No, I didn't know he did.
He did. He sat in on a lot of weird stuff. Like, he was like, oh, man, you have to get him talking. He's great conversation.
Oh, God.
You can get him talking about it.
If memory serves, when he came back a month or two ago, we were talking about, like, the warm-up crowds, I think.
Yeah, he did. I think he did. I can't remember the TV show he would do a lot.
Hmm.
Where he'd come on, he would just go on the set. Because, like, he's, like, one of the things he said was, like, he looked. Like, his gimmick was he looked like everybody. And so, like, they're like, you'd throw him in any audience, but there's people who'd be all dressed up in suits and, like, things. They're like, you don't look like a regular person. So he would just go there with regular clothes on and be like, you, we need 20 people. You, and he'd always get picked.
Well, he wears those straw hats so well. It's funny that I keep thinking now about, I don't know if it's still in the WWE games, but there was one WWE game where, like, in the crowd is, like, a guy with a straw hat. And someone pointed out and was like, oh, look, it's Guy. That's funny.
Awesome.
But I was actually thinking earlier, because they announced Louisville Supercon's coming up, and they announced Henry Winkler, and I'm like, oh god, imagine if Guy runs into him and tells him the story that he told about Hollywood Squares and how he kept giving him the A fingers, and Henry Winkler was having none of it.
But he shared a cab with Winkler, I think.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, I think he told me that. I can't remember. He shared a cap. I mean, he, Guy Hutchinson, like, he's not, like, he tries not to fanboy, so he's, you know, but that's definitely his generation.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, for him, he loves those older, like, TV shows or, like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he doesn't know Ron Howard now, but Ron Howard on, like, Happy Days, he'd be like,
Or Andy Griffin.
Yeah, exactly. But
I was making, poking fun, Guy, all in good fun. I have an upcoming, they're on Mallrats Minute now. Jeff Ferry, and oh shit, I forget the other guy's name. I'll edit it in. But they had me on for the Mallrats minute because they're doing like the Jay and Silent Bob, you know, the minute by minute podcasts.
No,
you've never heard of them.
No,
like it's a big trend. If you look up, I think it's called moviesbyminutes.com. Like everyone does this now. Guy and I were actually on the Back to the Future one. And what they do is they go through all the movies of, like, for instance, Back to the Future did all three of them. Plus, I think they did The Ride. And, like, they delve into every episode. It's kind of like 24, where every episode represents an hour.
Okay.
Like, every episode of, like, Back to the Future Minute represents a minute of the movie.
Oh, so that's actually a good idea.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept, and there's a lot of them, like... When we did Back to the Future, there were only a couple. Now there's like a kajillion. And I think it's Movies by Minute? I can't even... Going back to what I was saying earlier, I can't see shit.
Yeah, you should try not to read right now, John.
Bye.
This is getting terrible. I do think when we did that, when Andrew Morris used to do the Back to the Future podcast, that one, that could have definitely...
Oh, Flux.
We would have known that. Yeah, Flux Capacitor. Is that what it was called?
Flux Capacicast.
Yeah. That one definitely could have done a minute. You know, we could have done that that way. I wish we'd have
done
about that.
We had the Back to the Future Minute guys on.
Should have done that, like, day one. At the time, you were, like, one of the only people to do a Back to the Future podcast.
Right.
At the time.
And now there's like, well, there's Back to the Future Minute, and then there was another Back to the Future podcast, but I don't know if they're still doing anything.
Andrew Morris has a new podcast he's trying to work on, right?
I saw that. It's not part of HCPN, so I don't care. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh,
I'm just kidding, Andrew. I'm kidding.
You got to pull him out of retirement and get him on there.
Yeah, really? I mean, a while, when we had Guy on last time, he was like, oh, well, we'll do Back to the Future eventually, but, you know. It's just, it's not that it's time consuming. I'm glad to do it whenever, but I'm just not going to do, you know, the editing or anything else. I mean, I'll do a little bit of editing, but I don't care.
Did you see I think I posted it, but Michael J. Fox had a picture at the Boston Comic Con, Boston convention he did. I think it was Boston.
Oh, Tom Wilson
and
did too.
Tom Wilson was with him, and he has historically said he doesn't want to do anything with Back to the Future at all. Nothing to do with
this,
guys.
Historically, yes, but I think in the last couple of years since the 30th anniversary, he's kind of like warmed up to it.
Oh, that's cool. Now the only one that's really out is Crispin Glover then, I guess.
Yeah, but, you know. Crispin Hellion Glover.
Wait, what?
You don't remember the horror con, Crispin Hellion?
Oh, yeah. I still don't know what the hell that was.
I don't know.
I really don't. It was like, is he doing some... I don't even know. What the hell was that?
He's an interesting guy for sure. His Willard, though, is really good. It's a really good... That's a good film. Like, it's really underrated.
Rat movie? Yeah.
Oh, I never saw that one.
That's good. It's really good. I mean, he's actually a pretty decent actor. In his own right. Like, he really is. I mean, he's a weirdo, that's all. I mean, that's the bottom line. He's just a weirdo.
Well, he's an art student.
Guy, though. Yeah, but that's cool. I mean, I like people like that. Like, Jim Carrey's getting like that, too. Like, he's like he's just, his art is who he is. Like, his brain has just turned into this, you know. I think there's room for people like that.
I'm very curious to see how he's going to be Dr. Robotnik live action in the live action Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
Oh, I hate when they do stuff like that. Like when they got Dennis Hopper to play what's the guy in
Koopa.
Mario Brothers?
Bowser? No.
Bowser Koopa.
No. Yes.
Yeah, Bowser.
Monkey.
I mean, Dennis Hopper, you're like, it's Dennis Hopper. I'm like, it's, you know, he was, you know, all these movies, great stuff, you know, helped direct Easy Rider. It's like, you know, all the stuff, and then he's like, you know, playing that part.
And then he's playing Koopa going, "Monkey."
Right, exactly.
I really wish that was on digital or Blu-ray, that Super Mario movie.
We don't have that yet out of our 650 movies?
It's
Come on,
not
John.
Available.
Is it
not? It's not on Blu-ray.
Huh.
Master of the Universe.
Oh, yeah, we have that. No.
Yeah, that's on
no,
there.
No, no, no. But we're not going to not have that.
That's pretty bad, too.
So Amazon has a non-US format.
What is it?
They have Super Mario Brothers non-US format Blu-ray.
I need to get a non-US Blu-ray player because there's a lot of stuff I want from Arrow that they haven't put over here yet.
I feel like some of the PlayStations can do that. But yeah, this one is locked to the United Kingdom. They have not released a Blu-ray Super Mario Brothers for the US for some reason.
I don't know why.
Was it Mills Creek that released the cartoon that had Captain Lou Albano in it?
I remember that one.
No,
yeah.
It was Shout Factory did that one.
Shout Factory. Sometimes I get those confused. Shout Factory is a little above Mills Creek. They're kind of crappy,
yeah,
but
yes.
Captain Lou Albano. Was he ever really a captain?
I don't
know. No, but I vaguely remember this is like one of those Sinbad moments where he played, you know, was it Kazam, but he didn't play him. This is one of the, I kind of vaguely remember him doing a kid's show where he dressed up as a captain. Am I wrong or right?
I don't know.
I don't know. I know he was a professional wrestler, and then
he was Mario. With rubber bands in his face.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
For no reason.
The captain. Did
anyone figure
that out? I don't know.
Why did he do that? That's
Guy,
really
Guy Hutchinson probably knows.
Yeah, Guy would.
No, Guy Hutchinson definitely knows. he's like the resident historian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wrestled from 53 to 69.
And then he was a manager forever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Wild Samoans.
He was one of the Triumvirate of Terror. Hmm. A threesome of nefarious WWF managers, which included the Grand Wizard of Wrestling and Freddie Blassie.
That's when I watched wrestling was back in like the 80s, like Bob Backlund and Bruno Sammartino. And sure. That's when I watched it. Because, I mean, I thought it was real. And when I found out it wasn't real, I got really upset and stopped watching it.
Did you really?
Yep. And I was like, you know, I was a kid, but I was like adult. You know what I mean? I was like 14, 15. I was like, I should know better. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I used to get all the magazines and everything.
Oh, you were really invested.
Yeah, because you couldn't get, like, it just wasn't like it is now where you couldn't get it. Like, same thing with Fangoria. Like, you know, I would collect Fangoria because I couldn't get all the horror films, you know?
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to read that. My parents are very Christian, so.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I didn't know that about you.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't allowed to see rated R movies. I was one of those types.
What's your first rated R film that you saw? Do you remember?
I think when I was, what was Dragnet rated? That was rated PG-13.
No, it was PG-13.
Yeah, that was
okay. PG-13. So I remember seeing that. Oh no, what was there was one? I think this was a rated R movie that I was at a buddy's house and saw, and it was the Tom Selleck one where there were these little metal spiders
run away,
and the bullet that would chase you. You know,
and Gene Simmons is the bad guy.
Holy shit!
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
So
yes,
I saw that one when I was like 8 or 9 years old, I think.
Really? Gene Simmons, the whole movie is like, I want my templates, Ramsey.
Listen, I am so happy that your first rated R film is Runaway. I can't even tell you. That makes me so happy.
Michael Crichton wrote the book for that, right?
Yes, I think he, yes.
What movie did that, what year did that come out? Wait, movie 1984.
That has been on my voodoo wish list, by the way.
Runaway.
Yeah,
I am so excited that you guys even know what the hell that is.
Oh my god, I watched it a few times growing up.
And that was when I had to not tell my parents that I saw because I didn't call home to ask permission if I could watch this movie first.
Kirstie Alley, and when they're trying to track, you know, get the bugs off of her.
Mm-hmm.
Bug detected, and she's taking off her bra.
You said it was Michael Crichton, right? You said Michael Crichton?
Yeah, director Michael Crichton.
So I might have talked about this before. That's really weird because he only directed a few movies.
Yeah, director and writer Michael Crichton.
There was a movie, Christmas with the Cranks. Did we talk about this last time? Because this blows my mind.
We might have.
Christmas with the Cranks on Wikipedia. Just look that up. Go look that up and see who wrote the book for that. It's going to blow your mind.
Christmas with the Cranks.
If I could spell it.
Tim Allen, Jamie Lee Curtis.
So he's based on a book by. Is it on there? It's got to be.
Well, let me. Because
it's called
John
something
Grisham.
What?
John Grisham.
Really?
John Grisham wrote Christmas with the Cranks.
Wait, shouldn't it be The Christmas with the Cranks?
I don't know. It's they changed the name of the movie. It's called something. The book called something else. Yeah, Surviving geez, Christmas or something. Skipping Christmas, right?
Because there was The Firm, the John, Rainmaker.
Literally, John Grisham wrote that. Isn't that hilarious?
Mr. Lawyer book wrote that.
Yeah,
all his books are about lawyers.
All like 99% of his books/movies begin with the. That's why I'm confused. Why Christmas with the Cranks isn't the Christmas with the Cranks.
That's probably why we had such a hard time believing that. If I told you that, if I said, I give you three directors' names, you guess who, I give you three people's names that are famous people who wrote that. And I said, like, Carl Reiner, all these people. And I had John Grisham, nobody would pick John Grisham. Nobody.
No. Why would you?
That's an oddball thing.
Oh, you know, it's funny. I can tell you, I also know what my second rated R movie was.
Oh,
and it is still one of my favorite movies to this day. John Carpenter's The Thing.
Oh!
And that messed me up as a little kid.
You were well-educated.
I mean, that was good. Like, just when the wolf's face split, you know, at the beginning, I was, 10 years old? And I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. God! Had the pillow up in front of me.
I tell you.
Yeah, that is rough. That's a rough movie.
The effects really hold up.
Oh, yes. I watch that one about once a year at this point.
That is a super... That's a really good one. I mean, you were really well-educated on our films. Those are really quality
But
flicks.
I had to hide those from my folks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that... I mean, are your folks still around?
Oh, yeah, they're around. I'm sure I've mentioned the fact that I've seen those things.
Are you comfortable like having drinks around them and things now?
Oh, yeah,
do you remember that moment where you become an adult with them? That's really weird.
Yeah, I bring good bourbon home for my dad now.
Nice. It's good to have that relationship.
Like bourbon time and The Thing.
We don't agree on politics or religion, but we do agree on bourbon and a good beer.
It's hard.
Yeah. I just leave it at that. I still love them to death, of course.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. No.
That's really interesting. I saw, PG-13 was really popular, like, when I was a kid. And I turned 13 when PG-13, like, existed. So I saw Red Dawn, which I was really happy about.
The original.
Red Dawn was the first. Yeah, the original, not the new one. Are you kidding?
Thank you.
PG-13, Red Dawn, was the first Red Dawn movie to come out. And I was in love with that movie. Love with that movie because of that.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. A lot of... So one thing my dad would do when we eventually got a VCR, he would tape the when they were shown on TV, the TV edits. And he's like, here, so I can watch the TV edit version. Yeah, I it took me years to realize that Indiana Jones said, well, shit, on the bridge, because that was never in the TV edit. Mm.
Did we talk about the Vacation, like how Vacation had the two versions of Vacation? Did I talk about that ever?
No, but I was just thinking briefly about when Sony had that brilliant idea about a year or two ago. Oh, let's put out clean versions of our movies.
Yeah, it's so true.
You're looking. I'm flipping through. I'm like, oh, let me watch Ghostbusters. I'm like, the clean version. And it's like the TV edited version of Ghostbusters on Vudu. I'm like, I don't like this.
Sometimes they're good to have, like, as an extra thing, like, you know. In one instance, like, The Godfather, like, you know, when he released it on TV, he's like, all right, well, let me edit it. So he edited Godfather 1 and 2 into one film. Mm. And he put them in order, and it was Francis Ford Coppola did it. And you're like, okay, well, if his hands are on it, go for it. Then there's other things that are kind of crappy, right? So, but this is really interesting because this really caused a whole generation of people to believe that movies were one way, even though they were filmed another way. I'll tell you a perfect example is during the movie Vacation – You guys both seen Vacation, correct?
Oh, yeah, the original.
Chevy Chase, right?
Yes.
Okay, so remember when he's going into the hood, and he asks that guy for directions. What does the guy say when he asks him for directions?
Well, I look like Christopher Columbo.
And what do you think, Matt? Is that what he says?
I don't remember.
He says, fuck your mama. They changed it. That's one of the different versions for television. That's how I know you saw that on television and not on DVD, Blu-ray, or at the movies. Because he says, fuck your mama. He's like, thank you very much.
I did not know that.
Yes. And so whenever somebody says, when I say to them, what's he saying in that scene? They say, oh, what are you talking about? Christopher Columbo? And they think that that's the line. Everybody does.
My favorite.
It's not the line.
My favorite edit.
Made for TV.
My favorite made-for-TV edit of all time had to be Comedy Central airing The Big Lebowski. And it's the scene where Goodman is breaking the car apart, and he's going, this is what happens when you fuck a stranger in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
And the edit, I kid you not, the edited version of that is, this is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps.
Yes, I do know that one. Yep.
Like, what?
So what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps, Jim?
That's crazy. I mean, but Christopher Columbo works, right? Because it's a different. I mean, they just recorded different lines and they put it in there, right? That one.
Yeah.
That one, they just overdubbed it, obviously.
Yeah, I love when they overdub some stuff.
Yeah.
It's like
that. Did you meet my wife?
And I love it when the voice isn't even close to the guy.
Oh, yeah.
I remember growing up and watching Roger Rabbit when the gorilla lets Eddie into the club. And he's like, nice monkey zoo. Wise ass. And the edit is like, he's like, nice monkey zoo. Wise ass. It's like, yeah, not even the same. It's like, or like, not even, I'm sorry, not wise ass. It's like, wise guy. And it's like overdubbed, but it's like a different voice than the gorilla had originally.
Hey, speaking of TV, you guys watch Castle Rock at all?
I have not yet. I backlogged.
Watched the first three episodes.
What did you think?
Kind of slow, man. I was having a tough time with it.
Really?
Yeah, it's good, but I think it's kind of slow.
I feel like they're spending a little too much time on the buildup.
Right.
If that makes sense. I think...
they got to give you something at the end of every episode. They're not giving you enough. That's what I feel like. It's like...
But I'm still very intrigued about it. I mean, I've read every Stephen King book out there. I've also read it, like, every book his son has written. Joe Hill, too.
He's good.
I think Joe Hill's better than Stephen King right now.
Mm. Well, I mean, he's done some pretty incredible stuff. Mm. But Stephen King, I mean, that guy can turn it out every year. Two books, boom, boom, boom.
Wow. 2 to 3, yeah.
Yeah.
Four, if he goes by Bachman.
Richard Bachman died.
Oh.
He killed that persona off, I believe. Like, officially, Richard Bachman died with an obituary and all that.
Wow.
That King put out there.
That stinks.
But, yeah, so it's like, you know, I'm trying to decide whether I like the show on its own merits or because I'm looking for every other Stephen King Easter egg in it.
Mm, I have heard it's good it's good in general, but it's good in that instance because of all the Easter eggs from the other movies and whatnot. Again,
all the name drops from the books.
Again,
and all this.
Again, hearing this from our friends at Punch Drunk TV.
yeah. You know, but yeah, it's like, so you watch it and you're picking up, like, this was from this book, this was from that book, this was from that. And it's cool, but I'm wondering, without that, would I still be as invested? I can't answer that yet. Like Jim said, it started out a little slow.
Right. I just feel like that they're not doing a good job. I feel like they're not doing a good job with the, like, you know, I feel like that most of these shows that are slow, they give you something at the end to, like, keep you going. I don't think this one has. That's why the last couple weeks I've been like, I've told my wife, I was like, let's just wait like 4 episodes and watch them together because I feel like it's not pulling me enough. That's what happened to me with Penny Dreadful. That's why I stopped watching Penny Dreadful. It was really intriguing, but I was just like, I need something. You guys are, you know, like the terror, like, you know, the first episode, the end was something good. You know, that's how they do it. I mean, if you're going to have a slow buildup, you still got to give a little bit. I mean,
I like the terror.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, they did a good job of, like, at the end of the episode because it's, like, slow. It's not, it's a slow build show. And, like, you can't, you know, in a television program, you're not going to see for a week. You need something to keep you going. It's not like you're watching a movie where you can just let it play. You know what I'm saying?
You need that hook that brings you back.
Correct. Yeah.
Like John Popper would say.
You know what show is like that, and I burned through the second season of it. Glow
was
just damn amazing. I mean, they're 30-minute episodes, but like the fact that all the characters are not so much relatable, but you love them. Like, even Marc Maron's character is, like, he comes off super sleazy, but you, like, love him towards the end of the season.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard good things about that, and I just haven't had time to watch it, so I need to do that.
There's only so many shows you could watch, and
there's so many. Actually, what I'm burning through right now, because my mom and I share Hulu, is we're burning through Orville, which...
I watched the first episode of that, and I enjoyed it.
It's kind of like, you know, I kind of didn't like it when I first watched it, but I just need things to kind of – I already been through – I binged again The Office, and I binged It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia because it's like one of my favorite comedies of all time. Mm. And now – and then I did IT Crowd, and I was like, oh, let me try The Orville. So I just went and did it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's kind of enjoyable. I don't think it's good enough to where some of these are, but
– I heard it got better.
Yes, it got better. Exactly, it's one of the shows that got better.
So I'm still hate watching Preacher.
I have not watched season two yet. Even
don't so season two was horrible. It was bad. It started strong. It had like two or three good episodes, and then it reminded me after that of season two of The Walking Dead.
Oh no,
this is bothering me because guess who's doing Why the Last Man? Same people, Seth Rogen. He's doing it.
Really?
Oh boy.
Does that bum you out?
Oh, God damn it. Yeah, so you know how season two of The Walking Dead was horrible because they got their funding cut for it and it was just basically all at the farm.
Right.
So season two of Preacher is supposed to be when the road trip starts, which the whole comic book is about.
Right. Finally.
It's all a big road trip. So they go like two or three places and then they get to Louisiana where Cassidy's son is and he has an apartment. And like the rest of the season is them in that apartment.
Ugh.
And then I'm back in that apartment.
It's the Dragon Ball Z method.
Isn't his son? I mean, like, I know the spoiler alert. Isn't his son the one that turns him in or something? Isn't he the guy?
No, no.
Oh, that's not him. Okay, yeah. I get confused. I've read the first like two novels, but now, I can't.
Season three has gotten better. I'm not going to say it's good. Like the last two episodes, I actually laughed at. They were actually enjoyable, but it started out reminiscent of season two.
Oh.
I love the comic and I love the characters. Hell, I went as the Saint of Killers to Dragon Con last year. You know?
That's a good one.
Had the whole thing, had the duster, the beard, the hair, you know, the two guns. And they're just ruining it.
Oh.
But I feel so invested at this point, I can't stop watching it.
Yeah, you have to finish it.
I'm hate watching it.
Yeah.
By the way, I do that for a lot of shows.
Is anyone going to pick up on Walking Dead, but speaking of?
No, I gave up on that.
Well, I want to see how they're going to do what they're going to do with Rick.
I feel
reading the comics, but
I feel like I might tune in for that one episode where they off him or whatever.
I don't know how they're going to do it. It seems weird, and it also seems like we watched. I just put a post up on Twitter actually about this because I think it's kind of interesting. Is that everybody made fun of Z Nation, right? And they were just doing their thing, like cheesy.
I always heard that was the fun show.
Right, exactly. They're just having fun with it. But when they first started, it was at the peak of Walking Dead. So people are like, I'm not gonna, this just show looks terrible, very lowbrow. But as you're watching Z Nation, it's like so much fun. And then you watch Walking Dead. Now Z Nation basically came out because Walking Dead, let's be honest. Right. That's Asylum.
Well, because that was the zombie trend.
Right. Mm-hmm. And now I watched Fear the Walking Dead last week and there's zombie hurricanes. I'm like, are you kidding me? So they've automatically
Are you kidding?
Yeah. Nope. So, zombie hurricane.
Zomnado?
I'm not even kidding. And this week is like a continuation of it. But like zombies are flying around in hurricanes, getting thrown on the cars and stuff. And it's ridiculous. And
God.
It's totally Asylum. I mean, if it was Asylum, I would totally accept it because they've built that universe like that. It's like, you know, like there's one where it's like all these zombies attached together in a giant cheese wheel. Like they're stuck to it because they went to Wisconsin and they're just rolling down a hill like zombies. Oh, God. You know? And you're like, you accept it because that's the universe they built in there. It's like Army of Darkness or something. You accept that universe.
It didn't take itself too seriously.
No. So, you know, totally that a cheese ball filled with zombies is totally fine.
God. Speaking of, I know we're recording this a couple of days before, so it'll probably be after this comes out. Are we excited for Sharknado, the final one?
Yes. I am excited for the final one.
You sound excited.
You're going to do the live show again?
We would have done it by the time this episode comes out.
Oh, well, that's a bummer. I feel like this should go before it so you can pump it up, prompt it.
Yeah, well, I'm blind and it's going to be a bitch to edit this tomorrow.
True. Yeah, I'm kind of excited. Those live ones don't always work. I'm curious to see how it works. I mean,
I feel like last year we just ended up shooting the shit for like an hour.
And that's what I put in the event page that I really didn't spread around. But I'm like, to be honest, we're probably just going to point out random cameos and nonsense from the movie and just shoot the shit about random topics.
Yeah. Is Guy doing it again?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Because he's done, I think he missed one of them.
Yeah. Was there one where he was at a Supercon? I forgot.
Did you invite, like, Aaron and those guys?
I don't remember. Or I didn't really invite many people. I think I invited, like, the usuals.
I don't know which one the usuals are.
I'm trying to get Scotty Mullen on your show. I've tagged him a couple times. Now Sharnetta. He'll do it. I know he will eventually. He's shooting like a Nazi, some sort of Nazi zombie thing. And I'm you know, he's like, it's going to be big. He's wrote it. And he's like,
the J.J. Abrams one?
I don't think it's J.J. Abrams. This is Asylum. I don't think it is. But
it's the knockoff of the J.J. Abrams one.
Yeah, exactly. But I will say that he's a really interesting guy. He's got an interesting concept. But I really want to introduce him to Matt because he's really like done some cool stuff. Like he did there's a guy, he's a character, he's an actor, he's a big guy just like you, like same height. And he did he was in Zombies. He's like a character actor play. He's also a writer, director. He does a bunch of stuff. But he's a costume actor as well.
Sure.
And you know, he helped him with his stuff. He always puts, because they do, believe it or not, they don't just do all CGI. I know it seems ridiculous, but they do some practical stuff. They have costume actors sometimes, and Zombies has a couple.
I mean, I would love to get involved with something like that. I feel like my size would be good for something like that.
Definitely be perfect for it.
Need to get out there and figure a way to make that happen.
Yeah, well, he's definitely the guy. He does casting. Like basically, at Asylum, they do, like, they have multiple things, right? So he's a writer. He's also a casting director. So, like, he wrote this Sharknado, but he also is the casting director on all the other Sharknados. He directs some of them. So look him up, Scotty Mullen, Mullen. You'll see. But he loved me because I pushed Zombies like you couldn't believe. You remember when I was pushing, me and Garrett were pushing Zombies?
Right.
It's the worst, greatest film I've ever seen. It is so terrible and so amazing all at the same time.
Final thought before we go to break, but I had an interesting concept that Asylum should do if they decide to do more Sharknados. If I don't think it would ever happen because Hallmark is, you know, Christian and good and everything, but Colleen brought this up earlier. She's like, oh, they made like 25 movies on the cheap for this Christmas. And I'm like, Asylum should partner with Hallmark and make Christmas Sharknado.
Oh, Christmas NATO. Awesome.
Christmas Sharknado.
That's awesome.
A very Sharknado Christmas. Hey, everything else has a Christmas special. Why not?
Are you gonna go into the break now?
Yes, we are going to go to the break now. When we come back, we're gonna talk with Taylor Morden. He's got the last Blockbuster documentary. He's on. It's on Kickstarter now. And we're going to chat up all about that after this commercial break.
Hi, I'm Angry Man.
And I'm Gidget Von LaRue, and we have an 80s movie podcast called the Retro Cinema Podcast.
We talk and give trivia, well, just a little bit of trivia, on 80s movies that we both watched back in the 80s.
We cover all genres, including comedy, horror, drama, fantasy, musical, animation, action, and even film noir.
Yeah, we cover them all, so you can find us at theretrocinema.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn.
Klopak, is that Slavic?
No!
Give us a listen.
And we're back from break. Welcome back, everybody. Our guest this week is coming up with a really cool documentary on Blockbuster Video, The Last Blockbuster. Please welcome Taylor Morden to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey,
Taylor. Welcome. So you have this documentary coming out. Would you like to tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. I started about 9 months ago because the town I live in, Bend, Oregon, had a Blockbuster Video, and I would drive by it and be so curious as to who was keeping this place afloat. Who are these customers? You know, how is this still in business? And I'd pop in and poke my head around, and it felt just like a Blockbuster Video from 2005 or whenever the last time I had been in one. And so I talked to them about doing a doc, and this was last year, and there was still about a dozen locations left that were in the United States and that were under the umbrella of, I guess it's Dish Network owns the name now. But we started working on it, and I was getting ready to go out to all these other locations. And then all of a sudden, we hear in the news that all the other locations are closing. You know, it was gradual, but the last other spots were in Alaska, and they were closing down. Kind of caught us all off guard. And, you know, we heard on CNN that we were going to be the last Blockbuster here in Bend, Oregon.
Jeez.
And so we kind of kicked it into high gear. Said, oh, we should really finish that movie we've been working on. Because it just got real interesting.
Absolutely.
Get it out before there is no last Blockbuster.
That's the goal right now. Is I've always wanted to make a movie that was on the shelves at Blockbuster Video. And
it can
only
still
one
happen.
Spot left I can do that. It can still happen.
Right.
Well, and that's fast enough.
You know, the name now fits the place. Now it's Blockbuster, because I felt like when there was a lot of them, it should be Blockbusters, you know, so now Blockbuster does fit.
So
right, because there's just one.
This has so many questions for me, though. Like, how does this guy stay in business? Or this person, or these people?
Right, well, that's a big part of it. That's what made us want to make a documentary about it.
So I feel like I understood the you know, the last few that were in Alaska when they don't have internet or the internet is horrible, so you can't really stream, that kind of thing. Sure.
Right. But yeah, here in Bend, we're not like that. We've got fast internet, and it's a pretty, you know, well-educated. It's kind of like there's a lot of young, tech-savvy, artistic folks here. It's real outdoorsy. Mm. Everybody's, you know, skiing the mountain and floating the river, and it doesn't quite make sense. Like,
so
those
it's not
people
for lack
sitting
of
around
technology.
Watching movies. It's not for lack of technology, but it is a town that loves movies. You know, our local film festival is one of the top film festivals of its size in the world, and it's just I guess people love movies here.
Nice. How long? And so you guys have a Kickstarter going right now for this, right?
Yes. Yeah. I think we've got about 25 days left as of right now. We're just about halfway to our goal. Our goal is 20,000, and we just passed 10,000.
Nice.
Very cool.
So that's exciting.
Well, the concept, it goes without saying, but I'm going to say it anyway. The concept itself is remarkable, because for people like the three of us that grew up in the era of Blockbuster, that was like a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
I remember there was
that makes four of us.
And yeah, I remember fondly there was a week when there was a terrible blizzard in the New York area, and like my aunt and I would walk to block back and forth to Blockbuster each day, like renting movies and renting games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like Borders too, where Borders, Barnes & Noble is still open, but like I like the digital aspect, but the idea of going to the Blockbuster itself was like a whole experience.
Oh yeah, you could just spend an hour looking through movies and everything in there. It's just it was an outing for the kids to go pick a movie.
Sure.
You know, for my parents.
Jim DeSantis, ex assistant manager to a Blockbuster Video, by the way. I'd like to say that it was so interesting. I would literally, because you know I'm old and I used to the internet wasn't very common, so I would sit in the Blockbuster with my Leonard Maltin book. And I actually had this conversation with Leonard Maltin, believe it or not. I would sit there with my Leonard Maltin book so much at that Blockbuster before they hired me that they bought a Leonard Maltin copy so I didn't have to bring it with me after school and put it in there. And I would sit there and I would just go through the A's and like look, see what he said. And I would write notes. And yeah, but it was that single movie shelf that really got me. Like, you know, the single, like the one that was like, you know, you had all, you know, the 27 sister acts. But then they have that single shelf that's where you can get away with, you know, something like a Robot Jocks or something like that. Could sneak into the shelf right underneath RoboCop. You know what I mean? You'd be like, oh, look, it looks the same. You look at the boxes and you're like, this box looks great. Then you bring it home. You're like, what a piece of crap this was.
That's the thing, though. Once you bring it home, you still have to watch it anyway because you made the effort. So that's where you see all the crappy movies.
Yes, single shelf.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There was just something awesome about that. Like John said, we used to do the same thing, walking in the blizzard in Pennsylvania, walk over to the Blockbuster. And I just, is this owned? It's no longer. Is the name still owned by Dish, or how does this family keep the?
Yeah.
Name? How does that work?
So they have a license agreement with Dish that's been in place, you know, since they were a franchise, since it was a corporate Blockbuster. And they renew it, and as of now, they still have it, but it's going to come up for renewal soon, and we'll see what happens. But basically, it was a mom-and-pop store that, through some interesting circumstances that we'll touch on in the movie, was kind of pressured into becoming a Blockbuster. They didn't really have a choice, and they've kind of outlasted it and gone back to being this mom-and-pop video store, and it just happens to have the name Blockbuster because... They were kind of pressured into taking it, and now they're the last ones to still have it.
That's interesting.
It's kind of awesome. They're like, yeah, we won. What?
Right. It's like David versus Goliath, but David becomes Goliath, and then Goliath falls, and it's, I don't know.
David somehow wins. Right?
It's a reverse.
Right.
It's a reverse David and Goliath.
But listen, don't laugh.
Right.
I mean, these type of things have been making a comeback slowly. Like, if you've lasted this long, like, there's a chance, like, honestly, that, like, I was just talking to a bunch of people the other day that, like, they have a bar and they're talking about bringing, you know, rentals back into the bar, like, having them, you know, the bar is their main draw, but it's going to be this thing of, like, a place for people to mingle and rent. And I've been seeing physical media come back. I mean, look at records. So I'm pretty stoked with this. Like, I'm really excited to see this doc.
Yeah. I'm super stoked on physical media for movies as well, because I've always been a huge fan of special features.
Right.
You know, like the deleted scenes, the director's commentary, none of that stuff is on Netflix or, you know, a little bit will be included with their originals. But for the most part, you know, you can still go into this Blockbuster, you can rent a movie. And that was most of my film school was just watching, you know, Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino on special features explain how they made stuff.
Yeah, I feel like them especially, they were built for the digital media. Like, they really wanted, wasn't Quentin Tarantino, didn't he work at, like, a video store? It's not what he started? Like,
yeah,
sort of, like,
I believe so.
Yeah, I think that's what he always wanted was, like, to do commentaries and, like, you know, he used to dream about that. You know what I mean? So I think that's...
Right.
That's smart. That's like, you know, it's like people that learn. You know, there's a group of people, like, you think, like, Kevin Smith, you know, like you said, Robert Rodriguez, Quentin Tarantino. These people... You know, their training was the video store, sort of like what you had. Like, their training was the video store. And so when people say something like, oh, man, this is so much like something else, and they're ripping it off, I'm like, no, you're getting their schooling. Like, you're watching their school and process. You know, they're just paying homage to these things. They're not taking them away. They're willingly saying, go out and get these movies and check them out, you know?
Totally.
Yeah.
So here's my question about the Blockbuster. Do they still have VHS there?
They do not. They still have DVD, which to me is kind of as outdated as VHS at this point. And they have a little bit of Blu-ray, but it's mostly DVD. They haven't had VHS for a little while.
No Betamax?
Probably. No. I don't think Blockbuster ever had Betamax.
They did.
Never carried LaserDisc.
No.
They always bet on the right horse, I think.
You're right.
Nice.
But yeah, it's just DVD and Blu-ray now. But they still have the newest releases. It's the weirdest thing.
They'll go
in there, and they have, like, movies before they hit, you know, Amazon Prime or VOD or any of that stuff. They get them day one, sometimes ahead of day one. It's real weird.
It's strange.
They still have the normal hours, too? Like, are they a midnight kind of a thing? So I remember we used to do midnight.
They'll open till midnight. Yep.
Like, we would put the movies on the shelf, and, like, people would wait, like, 11:59, and we would let them rent, like, the day before, you know, a movie would come out, you know.
Oh, that's
like
cool.
Midnight, you know. It's like, hey, it's going to be on the shelf. We have to check you out at midnight.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
It's funny that you mentioned that they still get the new stuff sometimes before the others. There used to be something in place where, I mean, I'm asking here. It used to be something that, like, Blockbuster paid money to get releases first, right? Back in the day, Hollywood.
It wasn't so much that they paid money. They had a deal with the studios.
Okay.
And there was a thing in place, which is kind of how Blockbuster pushed all the little guys out of business.
Right.
Just because they would get those exclusives and early, you know, and it was for sale, too. So, like, you could buy movies from Blockbuster before Walmart or wherever.
Yeah.
Right.
If you pre-ordered them and things like that.
Yeah, so, I remember that was a big thing at Blockbuster was not only the rentals, but what they sold. Like, I remember getting, I was really opposed to the original Xbox for the longest time, and then they had it on sale for, like, it must have been, like, $99 or $149, and the caveat was, you buy this system from us, and we'll give you a 30-day pass to rent games. And I'm like, well, that's a good bonus.
I think it's, you know, I lived on the video boxes, and I remember two specific that I don't know if I mean, like I said, I'm older, but Frankenhooker and Dead Pit had interactive movie boxes. You hear anybody talk about those?
No, what are interactive movie boxes?
So they would have something that would trigger if you came near it or if you touched it or pushed it like a card, you know? So the Frankenhooker one would say, want a date? It would say, want a date? Want a date? And I swear I was at a convention probably a year ago, and somebody still had a working box, and I about, you know, crapped my pants because I was like, wow, that's a working Frankenhooker box. And only a super nerd like me would know what that is, but there's a lot of people that follow that. And also Dead Pit had, you'd push it and the eyes would light up, like the zombie eyes would light up. Yeah, the interactive boxes were really popular.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the only thing that Blockbuster didn't have was the back room, right? They didn't have that back room.
Yeah, they never did.
They were kind of family oriented, right? I mean, because I remember there were some releases that came out that weren't, they couldn't get, like some not rated stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, like, they made their own version of Showgirls, for example.
Correct.
Oh, wow.
They made an R-rated version just for Blockbuster that was a really interesting thing back then because nobody was renting that movie for the story, really.
No, it was obviously for the monkeys.
Yeah.
There was another, I can't remember, there's a documentary out, came out a while back. It was called Clean Flicks. Have you ever seen that?
Yes, no. I have, actually.
See, I knew one of the guys, I think it's Josh Legary or who directed that. I met with him and he was telling me about how they would scrub movies. And I would tell him, I was like, you know, they were scrubbing movies. I know this is a big deal right now because it was like, I think it's for Mormon culture. They scrub movies and, you know, give the, and there's a big thing about, are you allowed to put the, you know, cut these movies down as an intellectual property? And I was saying, like, they've been doing that for a long time. People don't realize it, but they've been doing that forever. You know, Blockbuster got, you know, edited copies. I mean, they weren't as edited, but they were definitely edited, you know.
There's sometimes different levels of edited. Edited for Blockbuster, edited for airplanes, edited for TV. It's all different.
Correct. Anyway, that's the movie nerding out.
Yeah, it's great.
Now, usually we wrap up by asking like three random questions each, so I think we'll give that a start.
Great.
They're very random, but they're very like pop culture oriented. So, first question, I'll take this one. Favorite Saturday morning cartoon?
For as long as it was on Saturday mornings, it was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh my god, yes.
All right, that is a good choice.
I know it was often, it was also on after school and weekdays in the morning, you could get up early enough, but when that was on Saturday mornings, and it usually would be two in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
At least where I lived, we'd get two episodes and they'd never be consecutive. You'd see like, you know, Attack of the Mousers part one and then, you know, Super Rocksteady and Mecha Bebop or whatever would be the next one. And it's like, why didn't you just show part two? But yeah, totally Ninja Turtles.
And I think I might have rented the Turtle tapes at Blockbuster a couple of times. I know I got them from Burger King at one point.
From Burger King, yeah. Those were great.
Yeah.
All right. So my question, I usually go on one or two ways. So I'm just going to go, what was your favorite childhood toy?
Oh, man. Again, Ninja Turtles, probably.
All right.
The one that was the most exciting to me was when one Easter, and I had never before gotten gifts on Easter. I thought that was weird, but like my dad hid the Ninja Turtles blimp in his box, and it was like I never thought I was going to get that thing because it was so expensive and so big.
Yeah, that thing was
and
huge.
I think I popped it within a week. So, I just keep putting like scotch tape on it because I didn't understand how you patch things.
Are you a
that blimp?
Are you a horror film fan? Do you like horror movies?
I am a fan. I'm not like a big horror film guy. Like, I like them and I like some of them, but I haven't seen all of anything.
Oh, really? I was going to tell you to rank Carpenter, Romero, or Craven.
For me, that would have to be Romero at number one, Craven, and then Carpenter.
Well, he's still alive, so you got that going for you. He can still redeem himself and get number one. He makes it.
That's true.
True.
That's true. And yeah, they're all great filmmakers for sure.
Yeah. All right. Bonus question: favorite Ninja Turtle?
Ooh, well, it's Donatello.
Yes.
And it's because, you know, I always fancied myself a smart kid, and that's who he was for. But
see,
we just interviewed James Taylor, the voice actor.
Oh, neat.
For this blockbuster movie, and he's the voice of Leonardo, so he'd want me to say Leonardo.
See, I was a little bit
disappointed when I told him Donatello.
See, I go Donatello too, just because number one, the smarts. Number two, in the arcade game, he had the stick. He had the bow staff.
Yes. In the game, he was the best one. You'd always pick him first, and when he died, you were like, "Oh man, I got Raphael. He can only reach 8 pixels."
All right. Well, Taylor, thank you so much for stopping by. Please plug the Kickstarter one more time and where people could find.
Yeah. So we're at lastblockbustermovie.com with a link to the Kickstarter there, or you can go to kickstarter.com and just search for Blockbuster. We're the only one. So,
and we'll have it in the show notes.
Anybody wants to support, we got really cool rewards. We got working membership cards and t-shirts.
Ooh.
And name tags, and our movie's coming out on Blu-ray, DVD, and VHS.
Oh.
So
all right. I did see that. That's awesome.
Kickstarter for people to check out.
Very cool. Very, very cool. I can't wait. I'm going to go donate right now.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Taylor.
Thanks for taking the time.
And we'll be back after this commercial break.
This is Sean.
And Chris.
From the Childhood Remastered podcast, where we look back on the TV shows and movies from our youth to see if they're still worth a damn.
Or not.
Or not, which is far too often the case.
You can listen to new episodes every Thursday where we overanalyze some of our favorites.
And not so favorites.
And hopefully make you think.
And laugh.
We'll revisit the best and worst of Saturday morning cartoons.
Nickelodeon and Disney.
A couple of movies our parents probably shouldn't have let us watch.
Yeah, there were definitely a few of those.
And you can check us out at childhoodremastered.com.
And remember, we're ready to believe you.
Wait, what? Isn't that Ghostbusters?
Rhodes? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Back to the Future? What are you doing?
I don't know how to end this.
ChildhoodRemastered.com.
Wicked, wicked, wicked!
And we're back.
And we're back, yes.
We're back.
That was a fun interview, wasn't it, guys?
I really enjoyed talking to him. I'm excited for this Kickstarter and this documentary.
I'm a little upset he didn't know what the Frankenhooker box was, but that's okay.
You can't expect the poor guy to know everything.
Well, it's just sad. No, I'm just teasing.
His answers to our questions were good enough to give him a pass.
Yeah, he gets a pass.
He's a Donatello guy, so.
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
I'm teasing.
Yeah, so that's it for our show this week. Matt, you want to plug Jason's stuff?
Jason, of course, is not with us, but, he's available on the WAG podcast. I believe that's WAG podcast.
Wiggity WAG.
WAG, not whack. Myself, I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and my cat is on Instagram.
Oh, awesome.
Knuckles the cat.
Love it.
Yep. And that's all I've got.
Jim?
You can catch me, Movie Brain Rot, at Movie Brain Rot on Twitter, all the social medias, and Jim_DeSantis on Twitter. Also, Movie Brand Rot, there's some old episodes on there. I haven't recorded anything in a while. I will soon.
Very cool. And you can get me at John J. Galbo on Twitter. You can get the entire ACPN network of podcasts over at the brand new acpnet.net. Made a fancy new website because we couldn't get anyone else to do it yet. So let's make it look a little bit fancy in the interim, and we're going to start rebranding. We're going to start rebranding soon. I think it's been leaking out, but now we are the Arts, Comedy, and Pop Culture Network.
Love
that way. That way there's no more of this Adventure Club Podcast Network nonsense that's been going on for the last year or two.
You mean the ACPN Network?
Well, that too.
Okay.
Network. I love network.
Yeah, our network.
Well, that's the website, acpnet.net. That we can't change. I mean, we could change it, but we have nothing else to change it to. And, but yeah. We have an Instagram now, too. If you check all the way at the bottom of the new acpnet.net, we have our Sochnet links, aptly named Sochnets and more. Cool. Our Facebook group, facebook.com/group/acpnet. Our Twitch group. We have a Reddit group that I keep forgetting to promote, but we don't really do anything with it because I don't know how to do Reddit.
Well, we have a subreddit. And I think we should just start posting our podcast there just to have another depository for it.
Sure.
I think it's a good idea.
Or why not?
Whatever.
And of course, patreon.com/acpn. Donating a minimum of $1 a month gets you access to all of our classic stuff, some classic Swimcast, some classic Adventure Club, maybe some new stuff, maybe some, you know, special treats. And of course, you can donate more than that. At the $20 tier, you join our think tank where you can pitch ideas along with the rest of the crew. Also, you get a free Blu-ray of Venture Brothers Season 5 and a mystery pop, or just pop.
Ah,
that's cool. That's the new thing. And then cool. Did we change it to $50 for Matt?
What, for me to come over and shake your hand and
yeah,
and say
or you're
thank
gonna
you?
Or you're gonna call somebody?
Oh yeah, you know I give somebody a call.
Yeah, or one
you
of
know,
us
I'll,
will.
I'll talk to you guys. You can tell me about what's going on in your life. I'm a good listener.
It's very cool.
So yeah, you know.
All right. And what?
Go ahead. No,
oh, I was going to say, give us 5 stars on your podcast network of choice, iTunes. If you give us 5 stars, maybe we can start getting rid of some of those ridiculous dubstep podcasts that came in for the other Adventure Club. yeah, that's pretty much it. We will be back hopefully next week with a guest. I think we have a guest lined up. Maybe we
do
don't.
We might.
Maybe not. We'll see. But until then, good night, everybody.
Good night, folks.
Bye.